Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Continue where we left off. Let's hear who we have at the table, players and characters. Hannah, will you begin?
Hello, I am Hannah, playing Winnie, Guardian of the Shared Sky.
Brennan.
Hi, I'm Brennan. I'm playing Brother Arcos Gerard, Priest of Furia.
And Rob.
I'm Rob, playing Magnus Vale, Master of Day and Night.
And I am Amelia Somm, your GM, and Morovi has gone to the kitchen and put a kettle of water on what looks like a stove. You'll notice that there are no flames, rather arcane glyphs that heat everything. The kitchen is large. It's made for entertaining. The stove extends very far back. There are several burners in the rear corner. A pot of soup that Winnie you would recognize to be an eternal stew rests simmering quietly, and she ushers you in as she begins prepping some vegetables to cook. And she says, as she starts slicing, "Now, what was it you all needed?"
Oh, we were here to inquire about a word that I think you said you might know.
Mausolea.
Yes, that's correct.
Yes. Tanvi has had dreams where he's heard it and very few memories occasionally. For a while, I would watch him sleep, and as soon as he awoke, ask. I got some reports of visions, but always very stunted, labored language. I don't think he really knows or was meant to know. I got the feeling that it was something meant for someone else and perhaps meant for you. So I did what I do best. I've consulted the text. I found nothing. I go through the oral histories, the words kept you all don't know. We keep certain histories spoken into these sorts of jars where you can hear the stories being told by those who wrote them, those who hear them, and those who tell them again, in addition to consulting the leaders of other families and other courts trying to find anything. They've made our poor Tanvi a bit more glum than usual, I've noticed.
Yeah, we also noticed.
Yes.
Well, it's good to know he's not always that sad.
He's not always that sad.
Sorry, how exactly were the other courts making Tanvi's life hard?
Oh, the other courts weren't making Tanvi's life hard. I went to the other courts to see if I could find anything on Mausolea, and turned up a few different things. There's Tanvi's dreams were largely all he could remember was mist, fog, and the sort of feeling of uncertainty. There were people in the other courts, each one actually someone who was in the current ruling house. Spring and summer don't really have ruling houses, but Even so, we each had these dreams. Winter dreamt of wind and water, an eternal sea pouring into an eternal sky. Summer dreamt of two twin mountain peaks, one an edifice of ice, the other a roiling volcano. And spring dreamt of gnarled trees, shadow and bark all coiled in on itself, choking itself off from life. And our dear Tanvi, smoke, or fog, or something and nothing.
Fire, ice, water, sky, nature, uncertainty. Sort of a familiar bunch of elements and symbols. We've been running across a bit of a pattern ourselves, regarding some of those at least.
Sounds like the gods, if I may.
Perhaps.
Was the impression from the dreamers that these were dreams as messages in the sense that they were more metaphorical, or did they have the impression that they were seeing an actual landscape of a place?
Hard to say. The one thing people had in common is it felt like a journey that was not meant for them.
Who could have been meant for then, if not them?
Unclear. No matter how far they walked, they could not move.
Sounds rather distressing.
I think you'll find Magnus, yes?
Aye.
I think you will find that reality and metaphor are very closely entwined here. This could be a place, and the memory of a place, or the idea of a place, all at once.
And the word that is encompassing all of that would be mausolea.
Perhaps.
If it's a memory and a metaphor and an idea, it had to be a physical location at some point, right?
Perhaps. Or it could have been a place that existed in a story. It could be the name of someone who goes to places. It could be the mountains. It could be the air and the wind. It could be a story that refers to them.
I'm not finding a lot of certainty around here.
Don't really find certainty and uncertainty to be guiding terms.
That's a perspective.
You have the choices that you make and the consequences that may be. All you can do is act.
Tanvi told me that he saw me in his dream. Were there any other people in any of those other dreams?
There was another, a young person in a crown of jagged ice.
Did they look like they did not give a damn?
I can't really speak to that. I did not have the dream.
Yeah, we know him.
Well, then, whoever he is a part of this, somehow. There was only one court I did not approach. The Court of the Dawn. Don't really speak to them. Don't interact with them. It is dangerous, open realm between here and there. Did not seem... The dreams Tenvi is having, while disconcerting, are not harmful. And it did not seem wise to undertake a journey for such.
Yeah, the Court of the Dawn aren't fun people.
Has anybody attempted to send an envoy to the Court of the Dawn?
Not in recent years. They do not like company, even from us. If they need anything, they make their needs and desires known.
Yeah, right, bastards. Entitled lot. Haven't really sought them out myself.
Seem
only
like really...
I haven't partied with, I think.
They don't. Well, I think they have a version of party that you might not like.
Yeah. Very demeaning from what I've heard. A lot of personal insults about your appearance. It's not a good time.
Among other things.
Oh yeah, it's just the starters. But I've only ever heard stories, so... I guess what you're getting at is that... maybe they'd have some information that they're not sharing with the group.
It's possible. It's possible that they have nothing. But in the interest of reaching out to all of the courts, if you wanted information, I can tell you that none of the other... none of us, the seasonal courts, have anything that would be very useful. At least not that's entirely clear. I have not asked every single member, but information has a way of getting around.
So, just work with me here on a line of thinking. Mm-hmm. Say that Mausolea is a place, either real or imagined or both. And the reason that nobody has record of it in your oral history or in any written history is because maybe that story died out a long time ago. Who's the oldest person that may have been around when Mausolea was a thing in the common consciousness?
Someone who's older than our history.
And I don't suppose there's just one of you walking around that's 2,000, 3,000 years old in that time frame?
Not walking, not exactly.
I'm all ears.
Well, I suppose in the one case, if you could capture one of the gods and make them give you conversation, you might be able to pull something from them.
Capture. Otherwise... Sorry. Did you say capture one of the gods?
Not capture the god. Capture a conversation. Capture in the sense that you need to get their attention and keep them from leaving or smiting you outright.
It's not like we haven't done that before.
Hasn't worked out recently. But, well, which gods are you meaning? I know that the Fae aren't too keen on the mortal pantheon, so to speak.
Raelish and Lilt wander through these lands.
I know just enough to know that wandering isn't all they do, though. Seems a mite dangerous trying to wrangle a god for a conversation.
And I do not know if it would be worse if you tried to get their attention or if they happened upon you. Alternatively, in the heart of the Court of the Dawn is the soul of Ulfair, allegedly. Now, I will tell you all that your options are trying to capture a god, which apparently you have done in some capacity, kind of looking at you, Winnie, with a little bit of a like, oh, okay. Or going to the one place where no mortals of Kraith have ever crested, into the Court of the Dawn, at least none that have passed and also made the return home, into their most sacred sanctum. And then persuading whatever it is that the soul of Ulfair takes, whether it's a soul, whether that's a name, persuading them to give you the information you want, if they have it, and if it's something you can understand, and then making your way out with your life. I have not even been to the inner part of the Court of the Dawn, They do not take to outsiders kindly. Even the leaders of the seasonal courts.
So, like, what is their whole deal, man? Like, why, like, why are they so antisocial?
A few things. I mean, perhaps some of it has to do with guarding the soul of Ulfair. Perhaps there are things they know about these lands that we don't. Perhaps there's truth in the fact that they claim that things have to be the way that they are without change. Perhaps it is weak. Perhaps they're lying. Perhaps they're superstitious and they know this works and they don't want to trade on it. Perhaps they just are used to people like them. And they're afraid that if they let something in, the floodgates open. Or maybe they're right. Maybe we're all the ones just standing in the dark.
No, I don't really know about the rest of that, but that last bit I don't feel in my soul is right. If they're as passive as you say, then they've completely gone persona non gratis and, you know, they're not interfering with the rest of the world. They've taken themselves off the board. If they have something helpful that can keep the world from burning, so to speak, then I have to feel that they owe a duty to be more involved.
If that is what they have. Well, but maybe all they have is their secrecy.
Yeah, it could be a load of bollocks.
Yeah, keep everyone out. Keep, you know, the people you care about in. And if everyone is afraid of you or doesn't want to deal with you, then you're in good shape. You don't have to prove anything if they're too scared.
It sounds like they're easily the worst option. Who votes we take our chances with a god?
Well, I'm not opposed to the idea. Let's see. Let's see. I mean, it feels as if we go to the Court of the Dawn, we're almost assuredly in for a fight of some sort. But on the other hand, the gods are maybe unpredictable enough that we could attract them somehow without using violence.
Violence I can handle. I can heal you. It's the other things I fear. I don't know what they're capable of. Obliteration, mindlessness, erasure, name stealing, whatever that means, trickery, every manner of malice. These don't sound like friendly beings.
Friendly is not the word I would use, no.
Winnie, you're the most experienced on the Fae. Back me up here. We're not messing with these people.
I actually want to roll a common knowledge check.
Yeah.
To, like, see how possible a trip to the open realm would be, and if I know of any other history there. Oh my god, both my dice exploded. Let's fucking go.
This is advanced common knowledge.
22.
Jesus.
Okay. With a 22, so high. Which is stupid high.
I can see the future, and I know exactly how our journey is going to go.
Okay, with a 22, Winnie, you're thinking about possible outcomes, and here's what you know. You know that Lilton Raelish, there are stories of them walking Ulfair. You have never met them that you know of. It is hard to know which are stories of them and which are stories of just any weird, possibly powerful, or maybe just incredibly cunning fae.
Vibes.
There are a lot of things attributed to either of them or both. It is unclear. Like, there's so much unclarity here. Mm-hmm. Things that you would know, though, is that if if they were actually here, and you know, some of the stories are more likely to be true. I think there's maybe like one story you've heard of that people tend to agree is actually them. They do not make their presence known in the seasonal courts. They do not want to act against, aggressively against. Each court kind of has an archfey spirit within. And it's kind of like a mutually assured destruction thing, which isn't to say that they don't wander through here. It is unlikely that you would be able to find them and have them show themselves and then also have them help you.
Right.
You would think. Even with a 22, there's not like a concrete thing, but you're just like, if it would have happened, it probably would have happened by now to someone.
Right.
Most of the stories of sightings and interactions with them where people either think or know or people believe it to be actually them did happen somewhere in the open realm. And the one sort of unifying factor is that you would have to do something that is, and I'm going to use a quote here, worthy of the attention of the gods. And so you have people who go out and try and do all of these spectacles or small things that don't seem to come when people are expecting them. So going in with that energy, knowing how sensitive the Feywild is to that, it would be difficult. And who knows what else you might find in the open realm on the way, or worse, who might you find that could claim to be them and not? When it comes to the Court of the Dawn, you would also have to pass through the open realm to get there. So open realm is just on the table. You've done this before. I would say all the areas controlled by the seasonal courts, you have a pretty good working knowledge of. You wouldn't have acted as an emissary without envy before, but like, understand the open realms, even you with your acclimation to the Feywild still felt a little bit less connected. They are incredibly dangerous. You've never been to the Court of the Dawn. You don't even know how to get to the Court of the Dawn, despite your integration within Fey society. The actual location and method of travel is kept under wraps. There are a lot of Fey members of the seasonal courts who do not know. And there is no one who would actively tell you. Now, maybe you can get someone to tell you, but historically speaking, it's not going to happen. You're very clever and roll very high. Who knows? But the way to get to the Court of the Dawn is, so that would be one thing. In a way, you can't find it unless it wants to be found, or unless you come across someone who's a member and can somehow convince them, scare them, take them, wipe their memory, who knows, figure out a way to get them to lead you back would probably be your best bet. There is, when I say members of the Court of the Dawn, it's not just people. There are creatures, there are spirits, there are other things. So that's not entirely impossible, but very improbable. And it is something that Winnie probably would not have considered a necessity, because it's like a lot of work and a lot of things have to fall in place in order to get there. Once you get to the Court of the Dawn, that's a whole nother ballgame. It's going to be whether it's you don't know anything about it, whether it's politics, whether you're fighting for your life, whether you have to prove yourself, if you'll get in, if they will kill you on sight, you do not know. So, but I think with a 22 and this knowledge, I would say your connection with the Feywild through your Fey ancestry, through what you've built here. The way Morovi speaks about the soul of Ulfair, and the way you've heard of that, you know that the soul of Ulfair is held in the Court of the Dawn. And more than anything, you know the feelings you have about this place and the way it feels about you. There's a part of Winnie that thinks that maybe if you could get through all of that and figure out whatever this soul is, if it's an object, if it's a person, if it's a concept, whatever it is, you know that it would want to help you. Because in your soul, even if the open realm is still different, even if you're not from here or of here, you know Ulfair in your heart.
Got it. Yeah, I think, yeah, my takeaway from that is Winnie probably knows that that they could both work, but like with the unpredictability of the two gods, it could end up being a waste of time after a lot of time spent trying to get to them. So like Court of the Dawn is more dangerous, but also probably going to be their best bet. Just because, like, the Court of the Dawn and the heart of Ulfair being this whole grandiose thing, we're dealing with a very grandiose problem that needs grandiose solutions. And obviously this mausolea, whatever it may or may not be, also seems like a very mysterious, grandiose concept that it seems like only something that is so ancient, so powerful, would know about. So, Court of the Dawn, I think, in Winnie's mind, makes the most sense. And so to answer Arcos's question, well, Arcos, I would love to agree with you to do the option that seems a little bit more close to home, but I think that's just not, it's going to be less helpful for us in the long run. I think we need to take our chances because we are the people that take chances for the betterment of everyone else. Because if we're not going to do it, who else is qualified to do it?
I like that answer, Winnie.
I knew you'd agree with me.
As your confidence in us, I don't believe it's misplaced. I only mean to express my honest fear of this. Gods is something I've studied. It's something I understand. The biggest assholes in all of the Fae. What? I'm scared, Winnie. I think any other sane person would be.
Well, I don't really blame you, but I think as long as we stick together, we can make it there.
I agree that it seems daunting to go into the Court of the Dawn, sort of empty-handed, just robes flowing open saying, "Hello, Court of the Dawn, here we are." And I see that we're going to be going to, what was it called, the Open Realms? Yes, we're going to be going there anyway. So I actually think that, Winnie, you have the right spirit, but we need to take it up a notch if we're going to be the people that take risks. I think we should try to do both. Hear me out. We're going to be in the open plains anyway, and the gods, apparently, are only going to be showing and poking their noses around if we're doing something worthy of notice. Now, I don't know if kicking in the door of the Court of the Dawn and demanding to see the soul of Ulfair is worthy of notice, but I guarantee that if we light a bit of a fire under their asses while we're in the open plains, we have a better chance of getting their attention. And if we can get their attention and come into the open plains and then the Court of the Dawn with a little bit of godly backup to give us some gravitas, that might help us find what we're looking for. Kill two birds with one stone.
Or... yeah, I guess they are kind of on the way to each other, aren't they? I guess that makes sense.
Now, Lilt and Raelish, that's rhythm and dissonance. Am I remembering their domains correctly?
You absolutely are.
Well, when's the last time a Fae band has gone and played out in the open plains?
Is that a joke?
You should know by now I'm only ever half joking, Arcos. Even a crazy idea may have some merit. Dissonance and rhythm. A concert, a mosh pit. Really throw a party in their honor. When's the last time the Fae have gotten together for a collective worship of their... well, I wouldn't want to impose, but seems to be the deities that you guys like the most. Or at least tolerate and have around. I'm a bit fuzzy on your relationship with the gods as a whole, I might say.
That might be a quite literal interpretation of those domains, but I don't know. I guess it's worth a try. We can start there.
What was it that you said, ma'am, that a metaphor and reality sort of blend together in these cases?
Well, it's... I mean, things that you believe can be real, and things that are real can fade into belief. I will say, though, if you're trying to attract the attention of gods, you're going to have to do a bit more than play music, I would wager.
Hmm. Well, I am admittedly not very well versed in fae customs, so I don't really know exactly what a fae-oriented god would like. It was, merely a note that maybe this would be a time to extend an olive branch to your divine neighbors.
I might understand what you're getting at. And if you all want to go and try and talk to the gods and commune with them and get their help, that is fine. No one here will stop you. We will give you whatever you need for your journey. But I think I can speak for the seasonal courts when I say that as far as a formal relationship is concerned, that is not something we would be interested in.
Well, I understand that well enough, I suppose. Well, we can at least try. Hey, if it doesn't work out, there's still plan A of kicking in the court of the Don's front door. And I, look, I'm all for that as well, but we might as well exhaust all options.
You know, Magnus, having a fireball in the back pocket isn't always the worst idea. I'm starting to warm up to this.
Something tells me you tend to lead with it a little bit more than the back pocket.
I keep my ammunition in the front, that's for sure.
I'm not expecting a 22, but would I be able, in my study of faith and attempting to please gods, and most likely failing, be able to roll a faith roll to see if I could come up with a way to jazz up the concert or a better idea of the concert or something?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, honestly, that's a pretty cool idea.
This one goes out to Lilton Raelish. We're playing the open plates.
I want to see some lighters, you know.
What kind of music do they like?
Electric lute, baby.
That, I don't think I'll spend a penny to reroll, because it's a 5 and a 6. So,
that's
yeah,
pretty good.
That's an 11.
You just need a 4.
And what specifically were you asking? Trying to figure out, like...
If I would know how to get these gods' attention. I mean, I would understand if there may be some penalty, because this is not the god, or they're not the gods,
yeah,
I worship. But
so,
with an 11...
with an 11, I will provide the caveats. These are not gods that you worship, and they're gods that are very different from the vibe of Furia, who you typically just had to, like, pray to in order to get any sort of recognition. And even then, it was different. I would say one thing from the context, and if you're going to extrapolate your knowledge of Furia to other gods and just sort of, like, the vibe of these gods, you would have learned about the rest of the pantheon in your studies, is you all are in a place that is known for being weird and wonky, from what Winnie told you. Like, these are gods that are inherently and actively uninterested in people just trying to find them for the sake of finding them. And they, like, and I think when you're trying to think of what is interesting to a god, it could be spectacle, it could be nothing. Like, the range, and I mean, you don't hear this now, Arcos, but, like, the range of, I guess, the range of stories you've heard of people allegedly having interactions with gods in general has been anything from the lone soldier on a battlefield being imbued with divine might, able to subdue the army of an enemy, versus a kid in the wood who was scared. And so it's, you get the sense that whatever these interactions happen with gods, it's not quite about doing a specific series of events to elicit a response. It's about getting lucky enough that they happen to be looking, or in some cases, unlucky enough that they happen to notice you. Does that like feel appropriate?
Yeah.
For the 11?
Yeah. I mean, okay. I will say, I can make a bigger, smaller show. Getting unlucky or luckier. Sorry, some chances of control.
There's also the chance of them noticing and not being interested. There's a chance of them noticing and reacting, however. I just want to, yeah.
Okay.
Well, look, we can brainstorm on the way if we want. I'm just saying that if we have the opportunity to be in the right place to make an impression, there's no risk in making the effort.
Yeah.
Well, so we're going to see the Court of the Dawn then.
I guess so. That's where the road's leading.
Should we bring like a case of mead? What is there anything that we can do to like sort of smooth things over, or am I just gonna have to start slinging spells immediately?
Oh, that was directed toward me.
Really, the room. I mean, anybody's welcome to chime in.
I can't imagine there's anything you could bring on your person that would help you.
I have a dented mace.
I think it's kind of just like a show up and hope for the best, unfortunately. Which, you know, has gone really well for us in the past.
It's gotten you this far.
Half the battle showing up. The other half is not dying, granted, but, you know.
Are we really leaving our fates up to dumb luck?
No, no. It's never about luck. It's about, it's a little bit about luck, but it's about the fact that we have a mission, and something's calling us here, and whatever it is doesn't intend us to die yet, I don't think.
That's as much peace as I'm going to find.
Jeez, you've gotten less fun. Where's the hard-charging young Gohard that I used to know that would batter away hordes with a mace? Now you're worried about some Dawn Elves being rude to ye.
Well, he met God and then ended up in the Feywild, so completely out of his element.
And you should wear that like armor. You're a cat in a jungle, Arcos, and the jungle ain't happy about it, so you better start growling.
I can't remember the last time I've laughed since we've been here. All right.
So...
not going to get any easier.
No. I don't imagine anything will be easy until this is all done.
For the record, I like the creepy dungeon a lot better. I missed the crypt. That was great.
Hey, just think of it as the Crypt of Certain Death Part 2. And instead of a crypt, it is a realm, a court. Court of Certain Death. Realm of Certain Death. Easy. Just the next step
realm
up.
Realm of possible death. Court of probable death.
There you go.
I'll take it.
I guess to simplify Magnus's question, is there anything we should do to prepare entering the Court of the Dawn, the open realm? Any mindfulness exercises that people have found to be effective?
Yes, actually. When it comes to navigation in the open realm, Rowan, I don't think you've ever had to do it on your own. There is value to be gained in connecting to the earth and asking it to show you the path. To understand that the path it will show you may not be the path you want. It may not take you where you want to go. It'll take you where you need. And I would warn all of you, and kind of looks closely at Arcos and at Magnus, not to be too preoccupied. Whatever expectations and preconceptions you have of this place, of this end, and of what you think your journey should be, turns back toward you, Winnie. If there is anything you need, if you want stories, we have them. If you want histories, I keep them. I do want you all to come back safe.
And we'll do everything we can to do that.
I do have a sort of personal question, given your status as a record keeper of oral histories and the comings and goings of this realm.
Winnie fucking eyes Magnus right now. Like, do not say anything fucking weird.
Yes.
My wife would occasionally traffic in these planes. Mortalia, I'm sure you've heard of her. She's been missing for quite a while, about 3 years now. Don't imagine you would have seen her recently. Heard tale of her one way or another.
I'm afraid 3 years ago is around the last we heard of her as well.
And what were you hearing about her at that time?
I actually met with her. She was inquiring components for a spell. She spoke like she had a secret, and if she shared it, whatever it was she was holding on to, whatever she had thought she'd found, would slip away.
So she was sparse with the details then about the spell?
Yes. I can tell you what she needed is interesting.
Interesting how?
She left here with a vial of autumn rain. I was happy to supply it. I haven't been able to find anything but to make sense of it.
Not a common ingredient for spells, has to say the least.
Not any spells that would make sense to keep secret. But I've had more outlandish requests.
Thank you.
Of course.
And truly, if you hear anything at all, I'll... whatever...
I will tell Winnie immediately.
Aye. And... I guess while we're at it, I know occasionally the Fae run into contact with children of the mortal realm, sometimes half-elves, some magical talent. In recent years I've developed sort of a school of sorts for wayward magical kids, and, well, I'm looking to add some new students soon, and if you run into anybody that needs a home and a little bit of guidance, feel free to send them my way.
I will think on that.
Sure. I understand why you might be hesitant.
You've made quite a first impression, but if you are a friend of Winnie's, I'm sure you have some redeemable qualities.
Magnus sort of...
It don't involve fireballs.
Winnie sips her tea.
I will be honest with you, I'm a right bastard. Or at least have been for a lot of my life. But, earnestly, since Mortalia and since Arcos and since Winnie, I've been trying a lot harder to walk the path of a better man. And Winnie is no small part in helping me show me that path.
She does have that effect on people.
And she will never let me forget it, I'm sure.
Hee hee. And as she says that, she sort of like takes her hand and kind of raises your cheek, Winnie. In a way that, you know, she did to Envy a lot when she came to visit.
We'll be back soon. We'll do everything we can.
We'll be waiting.
Thank you for having us here. Thank you for all of your knowledge.
It is my duty and my sincere pleasure. Of course, I can't let you go empty-handed, and this entire time as she's been chopping vegetables, she at some point sort of raked the stew up toward the front of the fireless stove and had scooped the things in there and continued going and pours you all some in containers that don't spill, so you can take them with you on your journey.
Ooh. Oh, y'all are gonna love this stuff. So good.
What is it?
This soup has been in my family for 6 generations.
The recipe for the soup or the soup itself?
This soup.
Oh.
If you all wish to stay, it doesn't really get night. I don't know how long your day has been. But I can call Chell back inside and... for the evening, at least, our home is yours.
I think it wouldn't hurt to rest before we head out. I appreciate that.
Yeah. And she begins pouring each of you some very fine elven wine that she gets out of the cellar. A little while later, Chell comes with Craig and Julian.
Hold up. How do the boys look?
Both of them look like they got the shit beaten out of them.
like actually bruised and shit, or?
Yeah.
Like they like fought. Okay.
like physical fighting. Like someone was fighting someone. Chell also looks a little bruised, but not as bad as them.
What is going on?
I imagine Magnus and Arcos are like a little bit deep into their elven cups when they walk in, and Magnus... they're just like sitting by the door in a couple chairs, and Magnus is just like, what the hell happened to you boys?
Chell says, I took him for a walk.
Yeah, you took him for something. You beat the snot out of him.
It was a fair fight.
Oh, wait, Julian, mostly. What did you... Julian, what did you say to piss off the elf lady?
I didn't say anything to piss off the elf lady, okay? We were just, thought I could spar, and then I couldn't, and, well, kind of, well, I wasn't exactly human at the time. We were trying to see if elven bears, if, like, Ulfair bears versus human earth bears, versus something that Craig said was a bear, but I still don't think it's a bear, but we can't get into that again. We might have... Well, and then after we figured out the bear things, it turned out it's the regular earth, regular Kraith bear. It's good. We decided to keep going with, like, other animals to see who would win in a fight. And then it kind of just kept, it kind of just kept going.
Did you learn to turn into a bear?
We're not encouraging this.
Lions against the bear. I need, like, the conversation here is about, like, the lions
versus
the bear.
We did a lion, tiger, and a bear.
We're not encouraging this, right?
When did you learn to shapeshift?
I didn't. Chell did the shapeshifting. Chell shapeshifted all of us. We just had to sort of describe the creature, and the animal. I don't know how to shapeshift. Well, I can do. And then Julian holds up his hand and has like a paw, and is like, "That's what I got today."
You're gonna be a completely different.
Wait, that's actually
and then, like,
with
you.
puts the paw in your face, Magnus. Isn't it cool?
No, it's not cool.
I think it's cool.
Say something, Magnus.
What? Magnus, oh, like, has a very, like...
It's unnatural.
I think it's Magnus, like,
he's just moving his hand slowly, kind of,
like,
in your hair.
Can Magnus, like, roll to try to, like, mimic the spell that he's using to do that?
Yeah.
Wait, I'll can I do like, that? I bet I could do that.
Okay, I have a question for Magnus. Are you trying to mimic the spell, okay, or no, are you just that. Trying to turn your hand, like, into a paw? It,
like a cat?
Yeah.
Wait, can Magnus...
Sorry, did you hear what I said? Are you trying to mimic that specific spell, or is Magnus just trying to take the knowledge that you know and turn your hand into a paw?
Yeah, I think he's trying to mimic the spell the way that Julian's doing it.
Okay, that'll be higher. I'm going to put copying a spell that you haven't seen. I'm going to give you a 12.
You're a 12 to beat?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I feel like you have pretty high spell stuff.
Yeah, so this would be a spell casting roll, I would assume?
Yes.
Okay, what's a d12 look like? You're a D12.
The best one.
Like a soccer ball.
True.
It's all the pentagons.
Yeah.
That is a 15. I still got it. I think I can do this.
Yeah, and you see that. And I will say, because it's just recreating the paw, you're able to do so with your own bear claw.
Oh, it's a bear claw?
Yeah, that's what he's doing. It's like a bear's
paw. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Get over here. What are you doing with that thing? What are you doing? And he like starts like...
Oh, wait. Yeah, and then he's... And you guys are just kind of slap fighting with your single bear paws. And then Julian's like, why didn't you ever show me how you could do this?
I didn't really think to do this. I mean, I can turn into other things, I suppose, but this is like a different
thing. You only ever turn into weird guys.
Okay, well, that's a different thing. I tried to explain this to you. It's not like a choice. Just those guys exist. I don't know. But bears, that's way cooler.
Can I...
Yeah,
can
I, this is kind of happening.
Can I walk up and heal bonded. Our... Can I heal our injured lads real quick?
I think you get...
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I think you guys get both paws out and you're just kind of slap fighting with bear paws. Magnus and a literal teenager.
All right, we don't need a third person injured here. We're going on a big, important quest tomorrow. Let's chill for a minute.
Hey, where... This is a learning exercise to see what the limits of this spell
okay,
are. It's
maybe
purely
you
educational.
Might be learning, but it's not going to help you learn if you get one of your eyes clawed out by your friend.
Oh,
thank you, Winnie. The voice of a reason.
Arcos, who's
I think it's
you
cool
on?
To look at,
it's,
but y'all don't need
it's
to slap
not cool.
each other.
Oh, my God.
Wait, I'm going to turn
Arcos,
to...
Arcos, as you're saying this, you can just be healing...
I think Julian and I are gonna like pause, like locked with our paws paused buns. And then I'm going to like look at him and then look at Craig, and then I'm gonna like turn with my bear paws towards Craig and start walking towards him.
Yeah, and Craig says no.
Craig, put your paws up, Craig.
I don't do magic.
Can I turn Craig's hands into paws?
Without yeah, consent?
Give me a notice check.
Okay, he doesn't want me to do magic on
no,
him.
No, but give me a notice check, though.
Okay. I won't, like, force this on him. I know he doesn't.
No, I know, but, like, just trust me on this one.
Okay, fine. Here's a notice check. Hot off the presses. Wow. That's...
Watching you roll like a 3 and it doesn't matter.
Okay. The 6 exploded, so that's 17.
Jesus.
Okay. I'm at the 17. Yeah. Craig says that, and I'm going to give you like a few things. Craig says that he doesn't know. Well, Craig says no, and you can tell that Craig is not going to be happy or charmed if you turn his hand into paws. But when you tell Craig to turn his hands into paws... He says that he doesn't do magic, and I think the phrasing of that sort of flags in Magnus's head. You get the sense like you don't necessarily want to press on this right now, but it is interesting, I think. Because it's not that he can't do it, it says he doesn't do magic. And I will say, Craig doesn't want his hands turned into paws. If you turned his hands into paws right now, he's probably not going to slap fight with you. But he's not going to lose it. But I think that's the thing. That's why I wanted the notice. Like, when he says that, you just notice, like, something in his expression about it, but he doesn't say anything else.
Yeah, so Magnus sort of like clocks all of this, and I think without really skipping a beat, he's like, I'm just playing, Craig. I know that you're probably worn out from getting into it with Jayla and all that. Say, would you lads like some dinner, something to drink?
I would love both of those things.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, grab a seat. Arcos and I were just talking about how Arcos sucks at chess.
That is That's a complete lie.
So you're good at chess?
No, I am neutral at chess. I am certainly neutral. Very even.
I'm actually really good at chess.
Oh yeah? Would you like to play a game?
Sure.
Excellent.
Maybe after we...
Yeah, sure. Whenever you're ready.
Also, while all this is happening, I want Winnie to very subtly kind of signal to Morovi that is Craig is the person, the other person that we were talking about that we know from the dream.
Yeah. Morovi kind of nods because Craig, like, the confirmation is good and she acknowledges that. But Craig also does very much have a crown of, like, Craig also fits the description. So, like, that was just a good verification.
Uh-huh.
And you see after that, she sort of just, like, you can see she's kind of just, like, looking at him intently, and, with your perception, you also notice that, like, he can tell that she's, like, looking at, like, she's not, like, staring at him.
Right.
But, like, she is looking at him, and he can kind of feel her
gaze.
He's
noticing that she's noticing him, and I'm noticing
You're noticing him, noticing her, noticing him.
Yeah.
And you notice that she notices he's noticing her, noticing him.
Got it. I follow.
Magnus has already crossed eyes or is going crossed.
Yeah, like zeroed in. But yeah, you're able to eat and drink and get some rest. And as the evening winds down and Morovi shows you all to like the guest quarters of the house. Except for Winnie, who she assumes you'll probably stay in Envy's old room, which is where you usually tend to stay when you visit.
Yeah.
But before you all split up, she says, so, I will be honest, I have about as much of an idea of getting to the Court of the Dawn as you all do. I would suggest you... I've often found that, despite all the confusion, you can find great clarity in dreams. I would think on that as you head to sleep tonight.
Good info. Thank you.
Thank you. As well. And... she leaves you all to your business. Is there anything else anyone wants to do before bed?
Well, I'm going to have that game of chess, but we didn't say I need to role
play. Yeah. I will say you don't have to role play that. I do need you to make a roll, though, to see who wins.
Okay. What roll would that be?
Great question. I think it would be, what is it? Smart, intelligence.
I think it's smart. Smarts is the one of the main ones.
Smarts, and I guess I'm gonna sort of make this up on the spot right now, Rob.
Okay.
How good at chess do you think Magnus is? How often do you think Magnus plays chess specifically? Your smarts is just going to be for your general intelligence at things.
I think Magnus is pretty good at chess because I think like part of his training as a wizard is like, you know, it's a very intellectual process. I think that just like as a thing to do with other mages, he probably would have played a decent amount of like casual chess and like understands the game, but it's not like playing chess all the time, crushing people. He's just like sort of.
So I would say, good. Does a d8 feel reasonable there?
Yeah, my smarts and a d8, that'll be pretty. Plenty. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Plus your wild card die.
Oh, yeah. So three dice. And a d8.
Craig also gets a wild card die.
As he should.
Craig is the main character.
Yeah.
After all, yeah.
Wow. It's not an impressive set of rolls. I gotta be
sure. You got bennies! Benny!
I got good rolls. I think.
Am I petty enough to use a Benny to win a game of chess against a teenager?
I don't think Rob is, but Magnus definitely is.
I'm gonna spend a Benny.
Do you want to win this game? Is another question. Do you want for Magnus to win this game, you know?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Huh. Interesting. Okay, so now that I'm actually thinking about what... Magnus doesn't really give a fuck about the chess game. Magnus cares more about just sort of warming up to and building a relationship with Craig, I think, given that Magnus is really keying into the idea that he's, like, important, but also just, like there's something interesting going on here that, like, feels very interesting to Magnus. So I think what he's going to do is I think he's going to play a pretty even game and play very principled and just sort of try to get him to talk and open up about, you know, like how he learned how to play chess. And I think Magnus is gonna just like kind of subtly in the middle of the game, not like, you know, throw the game, but just make a couple moves that don't work, basically, that are just bad moves. And he sort of lets the game slip away as he has a conversation with Craig.
Okay. What did you roll?
Total, I rolled an 11.
Okay. Craig rolled a 14.
Yeah.
So what I will say is that while you do make some intentional mistakes to put you at a slight disadvantage, you do also slightly underestimate Craig's skill. And so while you were intending to throw the game, you do throw it a bit more and you do make some mistakes that you weren't intending on. And Craig doesn't notice either way, but I think that's like a sign to Magnus that, you know, like, hey, this kid's like actually good. And he did get you in a couple places.
Magnus has been drinking. You know, I mentioned that. So.
Yeah, sure. That's it. That's it for sure. Hey, you can just tell yourself that, Magnus.
Hey, the dice, they do what they do. You know, Magnus wasn't going to win this one.
The dice do what they do.
Yeah.
But also the fact that Magnus isn't trying obsessively to beat this kid at chess or teach him a lesson or whatever. You are more thoughtful in your conversation. You ask questions about, like, how do you learn chess? They tell you that, you know, they had this friend, kind of an older guy when they were young, who would just kind of come and show them like how to play games. And you get probably more out of Craig about how he grew up than you've gotten out of him at any other point. He was given up by their parents, you surmise. Doesn't mention them dying, doesn't mention the circumstances. But, you know, Craig was kind of like raised by a lot of people. Doesn't give you, and you can tell that some points when you get too close in conversation, he's like very actively trying not to tell things, but there's things that they're not ready to share. Raised in some kind of, I guess, institutional setting. Not like an institution, like, you know, like an asylum or anything, but like something like that. Like, not a whole lot of personal connections. Did have friends. Has these specific skills. Doesn't really allude to anything about how they ended up where they were when you found them. Doesn't give any like proper noun names or specifics, but more than anything makes polite conversation, and then it's checkmate. And they say, when we met, you killed a lot of people that I know and care about. And I know why you did it. And I know why you think you had to do it. And I know what you do and don't believe in. But it still hurt. But I knew before you all did that our future is intertwined.
Magnus, like, looks at the board and looks at, like, his king being, like, pinned down by all these pieces and, like, looks at, like, the pile of, like, pawns and, like, bishops that, like, slowly got taken by Craig over the course of the game and, like, lingers on those words. And he says,
there's a lot of people out there that I should beg for forgiveness for a myriad of trespasses. And I can't ask them all to forgive me because I know that at a certain point I don't really deserve forgiveness. You're a far stronger and wiser man than many that I have done wrong to have tolerated us, followed us around, even when we try to mess with you. I respect the hell out of you. And I think I do regret that battle. I don't know that it solved anything. So I'm sorry. And I don't know what more I could really say to make it better. But you deserve to hear that.
Thank you. And I was really mad at all of you for a while. I still am. Except for Julian's cool, but
he's the best.
I think it just got a little easier when I realized that you all also have no idea what's going on.
Yeah. And I almost killed my brother. How's that for fate slapping you in the face and say, wake the fuck up?
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
He's cooler than I.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But that's okay. I'm cool with that. I'm not meant to be... I don't know. I'm not a hero, not like these two are. Magnus sort of gestures over to Winnie and Arcos. That was never my role. I just kick shit up and move on.
Yeah, I kind of just nods and then, like, has a moment where stares in a middle distance for a sec and then looks back at you, says, gonna hit the hay. But you should know, Magnus, that that line you're looking for, that line you have from the poem, you're looking for the answers in the wrong places. The entirely wrong places. And just continues to head toward guest rooms.
Magnus waits till he's firmly out of earshot. And mm-hmm. I think as Arcos comes by like with another round of drinks, Magnus says, "I've still never had a conversation with that man that wasn't feckin' awkward."
"That's why I gave up. Although you were talking to him for some time, I got the feeling from a distance that wasn't just about chess."
"No. Chess is a great metaphor for many things in life. He showed me some of my weaknesses, and I saw some of his strength."
"Are you saying you lost?"
"I'm saying I didn't win the battle. And I think maybe nobody won."
"Some battles must be lost to win a war. Especially when there's a great deal of apology we still owe him."
"Yeah, there was a bit of that too.
Awkward kid, though, seriously. I'm going to hand you a drink."
"Well, if I remember what I was like at that age, it wasn't like I was any less awkward."
God.
"Suppose we all were."
Is that Barefoot? It looks like Barefoot.
It's Yellowtail.
Oh, yellow. Oh, okay. Barely. Like, you got two. You got one notch above.
I'm drinking it. For those of you at home, Rob just pulled out
a giant bottle of wine.
Like a true Norseman.
Like a true Norseman. And on that note, you all head to bed. Your dreams come. And by the morning, even their memory is gone. And next time, we'll figure out how the fuck we find the Court of the Dawn.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% Lean Ground Sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. I hope you're having a good Wednesday. We have just released season 4, episode 33. And I wanted to say thank you for waiting so very patiently for this episode. And I wanted to come on here to say that we have officially wrapped season 4. Kind of crazy. And what that means is the very next episode is going to be the last episode of Guildfellows ever. Kind of crazy, insane. It'll be the last, like, regular, like, story episode. We're going to have a season 4 wrap episode, as we always do. And then we're going to have a podcast, postmortem, wrap up, whatever. So, as you're hearing this, if you're in our Discord channel, our question channel will be open for both season 4 questions and podcast overall questions. I think we're probably going to like go season by season and just kind of reflect and see how far we've come and all this stuff. But take this as the opportunity to kind of you know, talk to all of us as a unit for the last time, possibly. So, yeah, that's what we're gonna do. Which also means this is gonna be my last announcement, update, whatever thing ever, probably. So, yeah. I don't know. That's really all I kind of have to say. I'm a little behind on our social media pages, so I apologize for that. But we'll get there. We'll catch up. And yeah, next week's going to be the very last story episode, season 4 finale. And then I'm not 100% sure when the wrap-up episodes are going to happen. They may not happen for a while, simply because a lot of us are busy and we're just kind of working around our schedule. So they might not happen for a few weeks. We're going to try to squeeze them in eventually. We're going to try to squeeze them in quick. But if they don't happen for a minute, then they won't happen for a minute. But they'll definitely at least come out this summer. I will make sure that happens. They'll come out as soon as I can wrangle everyone together. So, yeah. That's it, I think. That's all I really want to say. I don't really need to go into the regular spiel that I do because, I don't know, it's almost over. Yeah, thank you to Arcane Anthems for the theme song, as always. And thank you to everyone who has listened thus far. And we'll get into it more once those wrap-ups come out. But... yeah, that's what I've got. Thank you for listening. That's all I've got for you guys today. We love you all so much. Keep your heads up. Stay safe. We love you. I'll see you later. Bye-bye.